Blog Talk Radio.
It ain't for everybody. Welcome to Hollywood, baby.
Picture.
Coming with.
Let's not even talk about it.
Let's do it.
Let's go.
I see your jealousy as you watch me.
I see you watch me, baby.
You watch me.
It's all good.
It's kind of sexy.
I love it.
How you watching? You watching?
Come on.
Yeah, everybody. Welcome to Chillin' with Cheese, y'all. Got a great show for y'all tonight. Cold out here in Baltimore. Snow is falling, but we're gonna warm it up in here. Got a great guest coming through, Calvin Ford, world class trainer for Javonte Tank Davis, TMT Promotions. Should be a great show. Of course, we had to start off with a little Chica and Beyonce. So hopefully that got everybody going a little bit. But yeah, we're gonna have a good show tonight. First of all, a little off the top, I want to send a couple shout-outs and rest in pieces to some legends in music this past week. Of course, Natalie Cole and Glenn Frey passed away, so we want to send a shout-out to them and, you know, for all what they did in the music entertainment industry. So, yeah, really appreciate it. But, yeah, we're going to go right to it. And hey, Calvin, is that you?
Yeah. Yeah, this is Calvin.
Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm doing okay. How you doing?
All right, man. Where you at now, Cal?
Well, I'm just getting in the house.
Just leaving the gym. Look,
yeah.
You be so on the go, man. I don't know whether you out the West Coast or here or not, man.
Yeah, that's fine. Hopefully be out in Kansas City next week, actually.
Okay, what's going on? Is that a fight coming up or?
Yeah, I'm still working with my amateurs. We have the National Silver Gloves going on at this time. I got a heavyweight in the 165 Lorenzo Chuck Simpson.
Okay.
Actually competing. Hopefully he can win his sixth national in the Silver Gloves. Stages with little young kids from 8 to 15 compete. You know, it actually grooms them to build them to get to the Olympics and stuff.
Wow, man. Now, everybody out there, if you guys don't know, Calvin, of course, runs Upton Boxing on Pennsylvania Avenue in Baltimore, and he does a great job with the kids down there. I was going to ask you, was there any up-and-coming young fighters you had coming up, and you kind
of
answered that with
Chuck.
Yeah, talk about them, man. Yeah, go ahead. Talk about them, man.
Well, as you already know, you know about Javonte Tank Davis, you know.
Right.
And his devil, you know, he's shooting to the top. And then next on deck is Malik Hawkins. He's fighting February the 19th on CBS. So you can tune in on that. Just signed with Greg Promotion. And then, I just got finished talking to you. We just spent 3 months. We did the state, the regionals, and we're on the way to the national with the amateurs. Like I said again, we have Dante White. It's his first year actually competing in Silver Gloves. It's my first young heavyweight as a DO. And then we have Lorenzo Chuck Simpson. He won it 5 times already in 5 different weight classes.
Wow.
He did it, I think three people did it so far. One of them is Dominic Wade from DC and Oscar De La Hoya. And there's one more, I just don't remember the other name. Lorenzo, hopefully we can get to 6 and then move on to the next, you know, rounds of, you know, achieving goals, because they go from the Silver Gloves, the JOs, from the JOs, Golden Gloves, from the Golden Gloves to the U.S. Open, hopefully to the Olympics 2020.
Wow, and a lot of people, and as I stated, everyone here in our hometown, of course, knows you, and you know, you're well-respected, but as you have these boxers who are, you know, gaining notoriety, are you yourself gaining more and more prowess as one of the great young trainers in the country now, Cal?
Well, a lot of them always sit there. It's, on the amateur side, yes, because I almost had a young lady, Teresa Douglas, in the 2012 Olympics. She was, came final up because of politics. We didn't make it, you know, but a lot of people say she won the fight, and, you know. So on the amateur level, yes, you know, once I can get a kid to win a world title, then I can toot my horn, hopefully.
Wow, man. Look, we got, you mind taking a couple calls? I know I'm going to hold you for like 15, 20 minutes.
No, we're good. I ain't doing anything. I'm just getting them winding down anyway.
I appreciate it. Hey, caller, you on the line with Calvin Ford from Upton Boxing. Caller, you there?
Rob. Hey, Rob.
Hey. Oh, it's Eric. Hey, Eric Duran out of Colorado. What's up, Eric?
I'm doing pretty good. How you doing, brother?
How you doing, bro?
All right, I got Calvin on the line. You got anything you want to ask him, man?
Hey, Calvin, how you doing? I'm actually the one who wrote the article about Mayweather should be focusing the majority of his priorities on, you know, making Gervonta Davis the face of his promotion. I don't know if you remember that or not.
Yes, I did. I do remember. Good article. Good article.
Thank you.
Actually, he has, if you look at some of his interviews.
He is, and Rob was speaking about your training. As a trainer of a young fighter like that, how much do you feel responsible for how he performs on the big stage as far as these TV fights?
Well, actually, his DNA is already printed. You feel what I'm saying? And he started with me since he was a kid. But the good thing is, because there's a lot of things that Mayweather is trying to do with him that I haven't reached that level, so it's a good look because he's explaining, he's giving me the inside scoops of how he was so successful. So, you know, we got the best of two worlds and whatnot. You know, me to keep him calm because he believes in my words, and then again, we believe in me because of the simple fact he's been there. His record speaks for itself.
Very true, very
right,
true.
Right, man.
Now, one more question, Rob, please, if I can.
No, take your time, man. Go ahead. Good.
Just one more question. With Gervonta rapidly rising through the rankings, could we see him possibly fight someone in the top 50 this year? Maybe someone like a Rod Silka or an Edner Cherry?
Well, the thing is, with that is based on positioning them and moving them. Of course, he's going to have to fight them guys sooner or later. You know what I'm saying? Remember, when you're building a champion, you have to get them prepared for the type of, how would I say it? Competition that he's about to go in it. But again, he's like any other good amateur pedigree that he's seen a lot of tournaments. So, you know, he understands what he have to do when he gets to that level. You know, when we travel from the Silver Gloves, again, from the JOs, again, from the U.S. Open, you know, them guys that if you go look at that era fighters, them amateur pedigrees that went through that amateur pedigree system, they understand what they have to do.
Right,
well, thank you,
right.
Calvin. I appreciate it. Go ahead, Rob. Take over, man.
No, I was going to say, Eric, if you free to stay on, man. I don't know if you had to go
or
not.
Oh, I'll stay
on.
I'll stay. Okay, sure. Not a problem.
Yeah.
I'll stay on.
But I wanted to ask Calvin, you know, for the listeners and maybe Eric, if you don't know, Calvin, kind of tell him how you came up, you know, from Baltimore and how you got involved with Gervonta and your boxing. Tell him how it began and, you know, the road you took.
Well, if you have had a chance to read my documentary on me, that I'm actually Baltimore in the sense that I came to the street, went to jail, did 10 years for RICO conspiracy on the RICO Act, then came home and changed my life. You know, do y'all remember Reggie Gross? Gross was the one that fought Mike Tyson, and actually that's how I actually got real wrapped up in boxing, because I had another friend named Warren Boydley and another friend named Gary. They made a trip to the Olympic trials back in the day, and they was trying to, you know, make the Olympics, and a lot of them used to ask me, like, Cam, why you don't box? Because I used to kickbox, and I said this ain't nobody was interested in it. And then when I got around Reggie, when we got arrested, you know, he started showing me a lot. And then he kept saying, man, when you get home, you should box. And as I got home, right. a lot of people kept saying, man, you should. And I actually, I seen my son and my nephew train, and I was asking my cousin, you taught them anything? And that's how I got in the gym. And I ain't go back. I was just trying to find them something to do to keep them out of trouble. Now I'm doing it for all the kids, trying to keep them out of trouble. And so far, so good. We got some good stories coming out the gym.
That's right. Yeah, man. And Eric, if you get a chance, man, it's a video I shared last week. Calvin sent to me, and it kind of shows you the impact he has on the kids down, you know, in Baltimore, as far as trying to keep them off the street. And a lot of kids coming from these, you know, broken homes. And Calvin, tell them how you with Javonte, how you met him.
Well, Javonte, his uncle brought him in the gym. I had a young kid named Ramon Manny that won the Nationals, my first National kid won the Nationals, went all the way to the Silver Gloves and won the Nationals. And his uncle brought him to the gym, and his uncle said he used to be fighting in the school. So he's a young, light-skinned kid, new kid on the block and whatnot, so he put him in the gym. I didn't really pay a lot of attention to him when he was in the gym because I was concentrating on other kids that was there before him, but my son was training them. A friend of mine, right. Coach Mack, one of my other coaches, was always told the other kid, take a little kid, take a liker to him, and bring him up through the ranks. You know what I'm saying? So, man, my son used to sit at the table. He used to always talk about him. And then when I lost, Ramon got caught up in the streets. And you know, I was hurt behind that because I did a lot of stuff for that kid, and he had a great future. And and the process is that, you know, my son always talked about him, and he went back to Jersey. And he told me, he said, man, you'll be a great role model for him. And after that, we've just been stuck together. Every time I look around going somewhere, he was always right there. He was always right there.
Right.
And then it got to a point that when I didn't take him nowhere, he used to get in trouble on purpose. So I would take him somewhere. And I understood that because he just wanted to be somewhere where he was actually safe. And then it got to a point, we came so close, like it was like my kid. You know, because whenever I was somewhere, he was right there with me. He was right there with me, and the bond that us two had. And then I sit back and look over all the years of all the kids that's been around me. Mm-hmm. He's been there since day one, in a sense, since I've been at Pennsylvania Avenue.
Wow.
And you know, it's a great story. It's a great story. And sometimes when I sit back and think about it, I think, wow, I can't believe where he's at today. And the stuff that we're doing, you know, and he always sits there and says, Coach, one thing I know is about you, you don't change anything. I said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
That's right.
So, Calvin, is your relationship for Javonte more like a father-son relationship? I know you're a coach, but...
I changed the role in a sense because his father is home. And then his dad have a strong race relationship. You get what I'm saying? So I'm like that uncle dad. You with me? I'm like that uncle dad coach with him. You get what I'm saying?
Okay.
And I try to get them to have their relationship and respect because I was a kid that didn't have my father coming up. You get what I'm saying? So I understand some of the stuff that fathers go through trying to get close back with their kids. You get what I'm saying? Because I was just in a situation with my other son. His mother kept him away from him. We didn't get along. And now I did a program called Save Our Sons at the gym. To apologize to him, you know, and explain to her, my son has to be around me because if he don't, at this particular time, that they go straight, you know. The African-American stories with the mothers and the sons and the father, you know. So, you know, I hopefully my next chapter, that when I get to a level that I can speak on that, you know, from my own situations and, you know, hopefully I can change that, you know, because only people can believe from success.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, by me just starting a blog like over a year ago, I kind of take a special place for guys like you and Javonte and young man Cassius Chaney, a young heavyweight who are, you know, making – our city, you know, proud because, you know, Calvin, we got a lot of, you know, shit we going through here. And,
we got a lot of shit we going through.
Yeah, man. But just like out in Colorado with you, Eric, you know, I mean, you got bad stuff everywhere. You need guys like Calvin to help these kids navigate through. And that's why I press so hard to get these positive stories out, because people can look at Calvin. You know, you can see him on TV with Javonte. You're like, all right, you know, you got the money team, but you don't see the hard work this dude puts in.
Right. And
day
people
in
don't,
and day
people
out.
Don't understand
I want people
that.
To know that. That's mm-hmm. right.
Yeah, you know, and I respect the person, you know, what Calvin is trying to do. I've worked 13 years with at Youth Risk Kids as far as working full-time, coaching and mentoring. So for someone like Calvin to be doing what he's doing, you know, I respect that a lot.
Thank you.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah,
absolutely. Now,
that.
Calvin, you, as far as, you know, Javonte, I mean, what, you know, as he's turned pro, how would you gauge his progress now that he's had, what, I think it's like 14 pro fights? How would you gauge his progress thus
still
far?
Still building, you know, it's stuff behind the scenes that we have to learn. Actually, to me, personally, because all the fights that he had, Tank is 21. He's like 41 in the ring. Yeah, if you understand what I'm saying. It's just the hidden things that everybody says, oh, he pro, but it's a lot of bells and whistles that you don't get to see behind the scenes, the business aspects, the positioning. And I try to explain to him it's not about the fight anymore. It's about positioning, making the right moves, putting yourself in the right position to actually get where you're trying to go at. You know?
That's right. That's right.
That's what it's really about. And people, young kids don't understand that. Young boxers don't understand that. You know, they say, oh, I'm a turn pro. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. You know, so we're fortunate that we put the work in the amateur, in the amateurs, you know, and got his name out there because his Instagram and his Twitter, you know, fan base is so large. Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, and we still building.
Right. I heard that. Now, you know, we talked about Javonte, and I want to get on the lighter side. Now, man, I see you, and you know, you always you full of business, and you know, always looking, you know, serious like you had. What do you do for fun, Calvin?
What I do for fun? Nothing right now, but just boxing. I'm gonna be honest with you. When I'm in the gym, that's when I have fun. Because if you see some of the kids that come through, they put a smile on your face, and they enjoying themselves, and it's like somewhere for them to get away. Right now, you know, right now, I because of my previous life, I had all that fun.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to get back before it's time for me to leave this world.
I heard that, man. That's profound. And now, you know, as far as like if you had to take your, you know, your training, you know, hat off and you just as a fan and you take Javonte and, you know, out of the equation, who are some of the fighters you look at today and you like, man, you know, they're pretty good.
Oh, far as already pros?
Yeah, just
or coming up. All of them, because I'm like a fan with the kids, even though when they see me and call me Coach Cal, me and Gary Russell cool, the Peterson brothers cool, Danny Garcia cool, Broner cool, Rasheed Warren cool. I came up with all of them.
Right.
You get the thing? So when I see it, and I have a thing. Like if you had a chance to see my phone, every young boxer that I see that I think is going to be something, I take a picture with them.
Okay.
Every young boxer, I take a picture with them. Yeah, I take a picture with them. And I tell them, I say, man, you're going to be somebody if you just stick to what you do.
That's right. And I'm just getting to know you, but it seems like you're one of those guys who, you know, if they get in that ring, you already respect them because there ain't no punks getting in that ring. So it takes a lot of heart and courage to get in that ring. So I really respect them from the gate, man.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And keep doing it day in and day out. That ain't no joke, you know. And I see some of them have to go to school, come home, do what they have to do at home, and then go to the gym. Some of them working, going to the gym, you know. And some of them have the leisure that they can just do boxing full time. You know, it's just different walks of life. But, again, some of them live to do it. Like, I just met a young kid today, and he came to me, and his name is Mr. Frank. Used to train him. He isn't old in that. He's one of the old guys that's one of the legends here in Baltimore. And he came to me. He sit there and say, man, a lot of people keep telling me to come here because this is what I want to do. And he told me it was his coach. And I could see on his face for us the loyalty that he had for his coach. And I said, if Mr.
Right.
Frank gives you his blessings to come and train here, you can come and train here. You
right.
know? But, again,
wow.
because when they get up to age, and Mr. Frank, you know, he old school. He don't do all the traveling and take kids out, because what I learned, how I get to get close to my kids is when I take them on trips, take them places, you get what I'm saying, they get a chance to see the world. When they get a chance to see the world, they get to see other things that other people are doing out there, too. So they get them. It's bigger than Baltimore City. You know,
that's right.
And I had met kids and I had met adults, haven't been out of the city, haven't been off the block, and it's amazing.
And you
know
what?
So,
and you know what, man? And when I go to cover these fights, and like I met Eric when we were doing the Bradley Rios fight, and I tell, you know, young guys too, I'm like, man, you know, you think, you know, our city is just the limit, but I say there's a big world out there. And don't think it's all negative. I mean, it's a lot of good people out there. And just go and
yeah.
meet them and just try to see them and enjoy yourself. But, yeah, before I ain't going to hold you too, Bill. Before you go, man, what you got? What's your schedule coming up?
Mine?
Yeah.
My schedule is hopefully the 3rd to the 6th. I'll be in Kansas City at the National Silver Gloves. Then from there, we'll be in, man, I know Malik Hawkins is fighting his first TV fight, six-rounder, on CBS, so it's easy to get to see that on Greg Promotional. Man, I forgot where it's going to be at. I know it's on the Indian Reservation. I've been there a long time with Cecil McCullen. He fought on
okay.
there before. Iowa, out that way.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, man.
So that's my schedule. That's
man.
My schedule so far.
Man, you know what, man? I appreciate you coming through. And, yeah, man, and I hope, you know, we can stay in touch. And because I really want to keep getting you out there and what you're doing, not only for Javonte, but for you know, the city and, you know, getting the kids off the street, man. I really respect that. Eric, you want to say anything to Calvin before we roll out, man?
I just want to tell Calvin, good luck with your amateur program. And, then, you know, I'm really high on Javonte Davis. I hope he does reach that world title level, brother.
Thank you. I appreciate that, man. You know, just keep it in your prayers. That's all. Keep, you know, use one of Tank's phrase, you know, support us. We'll fight for you.
I know that's right. And
yeah.
When you win a world championship, a crab cake on you, Calvin. No, I'm just kidding.
You got that.
My man.
All right, man.
I appreciate you coming through, brother. Right.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you, too.
All right, bud.
All right.
Yeah, that was Calvin Ford, of course, trainer for Javonte. Eric, you still around? Or?
I'm still here.
Yeah, man. Well, what'd you think, man? I mean, what'd you take on our Calvin? I think he's a great guy, man.
Well, he, you know what? He seems about his business. And in a sport like this where the politics can overtake what you're trying to do, it seems like he has
right.
a strong foundation already built and a stern belief in himself. So I think that whatever he has plans in himself and Gervonta, you know, he can take it to that next level just for the basic belief, and it seems like he really believes in himself.
Yeah, man, he does, man. And, of course, you can see he's a grounded spiritual guy, and, you know, I really respect that, especially coming from where he came from and, you know, building himself back up and, you know, getting up and being a positive role model for the kids in the city. But, on to other topics, man. And I've been reading your articles, man, and I just wanted you to put the word out on some of the things you've been talking about, man, because I've been waiting all day to hear this, but I've been reading it, but I want you to talk about it. So I'm going to let you talk for a second.
So who's ever listening, my name is Eric Duran. You can follow me on Facebook. Follow the website, 60minutesboxing.com. I have 3 hard-hitting articles a week. First, we start off with the Wake and Bake Boxing. My man Chris Morris, he's one of the leading pioneers in the marijuana industry. He relates to the federal government and the way they do things in marijuana to topics in boxing. Myself, I have the Freestyle Friday where I mix hip hop lyrics with the latest news in boxing. And then I have the Sunday Sherman, man, where I mix, you know, some biblical verses in there with, you know, whatever happened over the weekend or, you know, whatever the hot news in boxing is. I'm not like a lot of these other websites where we just put out news and, you know, they have their own little agenda and they want to, you know, stay cool with the promoters and stuff. You know, I tell it the way I see it. And if anyone wants to question my knowledge of the sport, man, we can sit down and go, you know, debate for debate on whatever, and I'm going to stand toe-to-toe with you.
And you know what? I can attest to this. If you come at Eric, you better bring some heat because this man pulls no punches. And I've been enjoying the banter with a couple guys you've been going back and forth with the past week. And one of the topic in particular, of course, you're talking about Bob Arum and Manny Pacquiao. And, of course, Manny Pacquiao is scheduled to fight Timothy Bradley April 9th in Las Vegas. Number one, what's your take on that fight? And number two, give me your sense of what you feel Bob Arum's thinking was in making that fight.
Well, the first question, I feel like, I've criticized the fight, but it's a good fight. The only reason I have a problem with the fight is we've already seen it twice, and Timothy Bradley did nothing in the first two fights to make you believe that if he had a third opportunity, he could win. Now, I know he switched trainers. I know he looked good against Brandon Rios, but I think that was a lot of Brandon Rios. It just wasn't Brandon Rios anymore. I think Brandon Rios got old overnight. The main thing is Bob Arum, he pulled a power move here. There's a lot
right.
of reports out there saying that Manny Pacquiao chooses his opponents, and then Manny Pacquiao came back and said, no, Top Rank chose Bradley. And then Pacquiao just released a report this week that said, no, I chose Bradley. And as you can see, it's kind of like he's trying to save face with Bob and Top Rank. I just feel like there was more – as far as like an Amir Khan or an Adrian Broner, there was better fights out there than Bradley 3. That was my
only real
gripe with it was there. I think we could, you know, I would rather have seen Amir Khan or Adrian Broner than to see Bradley 3.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
Bradley
I think
talks
a lot of,
about,
mm-hmm.
you know, getting revenge and stuff like that, but he never gave Ruslan a rematch. He's running from Jesse Vargas in a rematch. Why does he deserve a third chance when those guys have failed to get a second crack at him?
Yeah, that's a great point, man. And, I mean, everybody, if you get to meet Timothy Bradley, it's no reflection on him because he's a great guy. But you make some great points as far as I guess maybe that Timothy Bradley fight against Rios, and I kind of think Rios was a little past his prime, and I think he was, just done, but I can't take anything away from Bradley in that fight. He looked good, you know, under Ted.
Yeah, and,
Atlas,
I'm not
but,
taking – this is no disrespect towards Bradley. You know what I mean? It's just a simple fact that, you know, like I said, we've seen it twice. Nothing convinces me that he can beat him, you know, in the third fight. And if
mm-hmm.
this is really Pacquiao's last go about, man, he's done
mm-hmm.
so much for the sport. He's done so much for his fans. Top Rank and as
right.
an organization. Man, give him Mauricio Herrera and let him ride off into the sunset.
Right, right.
You know, because what happens if Bradley does pull the upset, then what? There's no way Pacquiao can retire on a loss. Then he has to come back again.
Yeah, it's a good point, man. Even though, in my opinion, I don't – if I had to pick – now, of course, the fight is a couple of, you know, 2.5 months away, but I would – pick Pacquiao just because I think, you know, he would have the edge again. But, I mean, you make a great point. I don't know, man. I just, I guess we'll have to see. But I've heard a debate both ways now. As far as a couple other top-ranked fighters, and Did you happen to catch the Hank Lundy, Terrence Crawford press conference?
I did. And and see, here's the other issue with Bob Abram is when they announce Hank Lundy, he comes out and says, well, no one else wanted to fight. Well, 2 days later, Victor Postol comes out and says, hey, we want that fight, but it was never offered.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's,
so,
I mean,
Hank Lundy's a great fighter. He's a good caliber opponent, but he's not what Terrence Crawford needs right now. You know what I mean? If you're trying to make Terrence Crawford a star, Hank Lundy is not the guy.
Now, I put your Bob Arum hat on. If you were Bob and, you know, you had the opportunity to match Crawford up with anybody at this point in his stage of his career, who would you have put him against?
Well, I would have chose Pacquiao.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If
I
I'm
would
a
have
promoter,
to. I would have to.
If I'm a promoter and I have my cash cow ready to cash out and I have another fighter who I can make my next cash cow, and if he beats my current cash cow, that may, you know, a passing of the torch type fight, that makes Crawford, you know, a potential pay-per-view fighter.
Right.
If he beats Manny Pacquiao. Because, A, that fight would be on pay-per-view like the Bradley fight is. And it's kind of like what Golden Boy did with Canelo. They fed him to Mayweather for the pay-per-view experience, and now Canelo is a superstar doing pay-per-views. Try to do the same thing with Crawford.
Now, I'm glad you brought that up, and I have a great question for you because this was also a subject of one of your articles, and that one of your best friends, Oscar De La Hoya. What do you think about his matchmaking? And of course, I say that tongue in cheek, folks. I mean, I'm an Oscar guy, but Eric is not really that much of an Oscar guy. But what do you think about the whole Canelo Triple G situation?
Well, first of all, I like all promoters. I like all fighters. The only thing is, though, is there's enough websites who tippy-toe around these kind of subjects. You know, they don't want to, you know, someone read their stuff and they don't get credentials for a fight. You know what I mean? And I was like that in the beginning when I first started my website. You know what I mean? I was the rah-rah guy. But, you know, to speak of the Oscar Triple G thing, that's fine. If you think it's a 90-10 split right now, good for you. But for anyone who watches boxing, anyone who follows the sport, anyone behind the scenes, they know that that's not a 90-10 split. They know that that's a cop-out. You know what I mean? And Triple G would be stupid to take a 90-10 split. Because if he beats him, then he beats him for pennies. And there is no mega fight after Canelo Alvarez.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But if Oscar were to make a legit offer, like I put in my article, of 70-30, you know what? I can live with that. But like I said, come January of next year, that's a 50-50 fight. And so Oscar De La Hoya is, instead of offering 70-30 and, you know, taking 40% more, next year he's going to be taking half of the pot because of a ridiculous 90-10 offer.
Well, you know what? I don't number one, that would never happen because, number one, the guys over at K2 with Tom Loeffler and Bernie Barnzo, these guys are pretty savvy guys, and they would never take a 90-10 split for Triple G anyway. And why would they? I mean, they got a guy who, even though his pay-per-view numbers aren't, you know, Mayweather-like, which nobody is, but the guy is, you know, a growing phenomenon, and I just don't think they would ever. I give him way too much respect and even think that Oscar would come at them with a 90-10 split. When you got a guy who's knocking out. Yeah. Go ahead, Eric.
So who does he fight, though? Because you already see Billy Joe Saunders is fucking trying to demand $5 million. No one outside of wherever he's from knows who Billy Joe Saunders is.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then you just had the Eubank kid, I think he just signed with Al Haymon.
Right.
You
that's
know,
right.
How hard is a fight between the Eubank and Triple G going to be to make now? So what do you have left, really, at 160? You have a bunch of young kids who no one knows about, but he's going to wipe out the division.
See, this is bringing another dynamic of the whole Al Haymon and PBC fighters, because I was watching the HBO boxing special, and Jim Lampley made a great point in that there is no PBC fighter not in mine either, in the top 10, even though you got these young fighters who are on the cusp of it. And I think you got a lot of middleweights out there who would have a chance to fight each other if, you know, this gridlock was just, you know, taken down. What is your sense about the middleweight division? Because, hey, I tell you what, Eric, I mean, there's some great young middleweights out there. And I think if they had a chance to fight each other, as Bernard Hopkins once said, if any fighter really wants to fight another fighter, it can happen. And nothing can stop that. So, yeah, what do you think about that?
Well, hold on. I'm gonna bring up the rankings real quick, just so I can, you know, point to the fact of why I believe, you know, Triple G is in a bad spot.
Mm-hmm.
I did my top 20 prospects and contenders, and I left off the middleweights because I was gonna do a piece on the top 10 middleweights coming up, and I just never got around to it. So, but here's That's what right. you're looking at in the middleweight division. Have you ever heard of George Sebastian Heland?
No.
Number 5 middleweight in the world, of course. He's already beat David Lemieux. Andy Lee, I don't know if Andy Lee is with Al Haymon or not, but he's number 7. You have Peter Quillen, who's with Al Haymon. You have Eubank, who just signed with Al Haymon. And you have Daniel Gile, who he's already beat. And then here's where you get to guys like Dominic Wade. Dominic Wade's a great talent, a good talent. But he's not beating Triple G. You know what I mean?
Not
he's
right
not
now.
Beating
no.
Triple G
no.
right now. You have Arif Magomedov. I know the name because I follow the sport. But this guy's barely fighting 8 and 10 rounders. You know, he's a Showtime next generation type fighter. He's not HBO championship boxing yet. You have Willie Monroe Jr. already starched him. You have Ryoto Murata. He's only 8-0, still fighting 8 rounders with top rank. You got Ivan Kaitrov, another guy, 12-0, not ready for the big stage. You got Hassan Endam Jakam, a Golden Boy fighter. They're not going to put him in there with Triple G unless the money's, you know, more than what they made for Lemieux. And then you have Antoine Douglas, who I'm high on Antoine Douglas, but like I said, he's not beating Triple G right now. And that's your top 20 right there.
Antoine, what do you think about him, man? Because he's an interesting fighter to me.
Well, I mean, he's being pushed at the right pace. His promoters are putting the right guys in front of him at the right time. Now, like I said, he's ranked in the top 20, but he fought Les Sherrington in his last fight. Les Sherrington is ranked outside of the top 50.
Right.
You know what I mean? He hasn't fought anyone in the top 50 yet. But
with his
people pushing him, I see him stepping into that top 50, top 25 in 2016. And then you can't really judge anyone until they've actually beaten someone in the top 25.
That's true.
In Colorado, I've taken fighters off the streets and gotten them to 5-0 with no amateur background.
Right. Hold on, Eric. Hey, that's right. Hey, Eric, Tone, are you in there?
It's Tyson Fury. What up?
Yeah. Holy shit.
I had to do it.
Hey,
what's up, y'all? What's
for everybody out there, this is our other partner in crime, Tone, Mr. XGFR out of Las Vegas. How you doing, man?
Oh, cool, man. What's good? I see Eric dropping jewels on him, man. Eric going off, man.
Eric went to archives, didn't he, Tone?
How you doing, Tone?
Yeah, man.
Oh, cool, bro. What's good?
Nothing much, brother. Just hanging out. I don't know if you guys follow my Facebook today, but I got in some beef with some local writer who he's mad
because
I
yes,
stole
I did.
All his thunder.
Hey, look, I wasn't going to bring it up until you brought it up, but that shit was on fire, man.
last year, this goes back a whole year, Rob. We had to get police involved and everything. This dude was I'm sitting outside your house with a sniper rifle, all kinds of shit. And we're talking a year later. This dude has his own page posting all my shit from our local website.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, I was reading it, and I had to go get me a cup of tea. I'm like, oh, shit.
It's crazy. It started off because he wanted to join our team, and then he wanted to combine our website with his website, and we just told him no. You know, no hard feelings. We just said, hey, we started this. This is who we are. This is what we're going to do. You know, thanks. And he got hurt. It's pure jealousy. You know, like I tell everyone, you're local news. I'm 60 Minutes. You know what I mean?
Oh, no, you dropped that on.
Why, though?
He had the nerve to say that he saw me at a Colorado Springs show, which is like 100,000 people, a town. And I was like, that's cool, but did you see me front row at the Mayweather pay-per-view? And I was like, nope, because you weren't there.
You weren't there.
Right. Wow, man. And, hey, Tone, I was just said a minute ago, it was sort of like Eric was 50 Cent and this guy was Meek Mill and he just kept going at him. I was like, oh, my goodness. I felt sorry for him, man.
Down goes
Frazier. As you can see, he stopped after about 20, 30 comments and then everyone coming to my defense. He disappeared.
Oh, man. I don't know, Tone, if you had a chance to hear the interview with we had Calvin Ford, but it was a great interview. You know, he allowed me, Eric to, so I want to give a shout out to him for coming through. I also want to, give a shout out to my man Z and Mobtown Maine and his beer products. And everybody out there want their beer products, just hit them up, Mobtown Maine and Co. And a good dude. Tone, what you got going on, man?
I just busy since this morning, you know what I'm saying? So I'm just like everywhere, but, just still doing the show, got some stuff coming out, man, and I'm just continuing to get, you know what I'm saying, inspired by you two gentlemen, man. You cats is crazy, man, you know what I'm saying? You cats is crazy, man, but there's a lot coming up, man. Eric needs his own show, man.
You know what, man? He does.
I've thought about it. I've toyed around with it for a long time. I just, with all the stuff I'm doing, I don't want to half-ass it. You know what I mean? That's my main reason for not doing it.
I understand that,
Come on,
man.
Eric.
You would be definitely great. Hey, Eric, you would need a rated R version, though, Eric. I swear, man.
Straight up, man.
Man, speaking of your guys' show, though, Matt, you guys got to get my boy Manny Perez on your show.
He's gonna
shock the world on the Pacquiao Bradley undercard when he beats Jose Ramirez.
Hey, T, we're gonna have to split it, man.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
So we just do it like that, man.
We have both of the show. That's right.
Yeah,
hey, Eric,
what do you got coming up, man? Say that again.
What you got coming up, man, in the next week or so?
In the next week or so, I mean, as far as just my normal routine in life, I'll be out of town this weekend. I'm going to San Diego with my girl. We're going to spend, you know, some time on the beach. But come Monday, it's just back to the grind, doing my writing, and that's pretty much it.
Cool. That's what's up, man.
That's cool, man.
Hey, is he going to be at any fights this year, Eric? Is he going to be at any fights?
I will be at Pacquiao and Bradley, yes. That's right now, that's the only fight I'll be at.
Okay.
If I wouldn't have planned this trip to San Diego, I probably would have went to the Garcia and Guerrero fight, but I'll be in San Diego instead of L.A. I was hoping Thurman and Porter would be, like, in Texas or Vegas, but...
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not trying to fly out to Connecticut and spend $500 on a plane ticket. Maybe Rob can drive down and cover, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I tell you what, man, I don't know what it is, but my phone is blowing up, and they enjoy you guys on the show, so I don't know.
We might have to make
this happen more often, because you guys are great, man. I'm telling you.
Hey. I told you, anytime you guys have a show, you guys need someone to call in, man, I'm calling in.
Hey.
2016 is about branding my name, you know what I mean? I've been doing this thing for 13 years. It's time for the world to know who I am.
Right, man.
I know.
Oh,
hey,
man,
but you know what? While you guys are online, I'm gonna switch the subject for a second. We're gonna talk about something a little, because I wrote this article about and I know you guys are not afraid to talk about it. You know, it's a racism article, and we had a lot of people talking about you know, whether it be the Oscars and, you know, just the world events going on. Give me your take. Well, both of you guys, I mean, because you're both in the media now, as far as, like, for example, you know, Black and Brown not being involved in the Oscars like they should. What do you guys think on that?
Well, like, I don't know if you saw my Facebook post the other day, but I put that I'm boycotting the Hunger Games because there's no Mexicans in it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, my God.
I tend to keep my ear to what's going on, and like a lot of people say, it's not really the Oscars itself, it's the people behind the scenes. Is, you know, they're older,
mm-hmm.
Their majority are Caucasian, and the majority of these African-American movies, you know, like Straight Outta Compton, it just doesn't, you know, it doesn't persuade them, you know what I mean? It has nothing to do. They don't know what it is to come up like that. They don't know what it is to live that kind of life. So the importance of
point.
It, they'll never understand.
That's a good point. And even for, you know, Mexicans as well, Eric, I mean – the representation of Mexicans in the movies is not maybe what it should be either. Well, I don't know. I mean, and you have a great point. You have a lot of, the people who are, you know, in Hollywood are older, and like you said, it may be, you know, Caucasian or whatever. But I was talking to a coworker today, and he happens to be an older white gentleman. And he said, man, you know what? I don't know exactly what people think. He said, racism is the biggest waste of energy that he's ever been through in his life. And I had to think about it, and I'm like, you know what? He's absolutely right. He says, how can you absolutely not like a person for what they look like? So for people out there who feel like, you know, that's something that they're dealing with, I just want to let you know, I mean, you kind of get what you give, and I think if you give respect to whatever race, creed, or color that you are dealing with, you will probably get that respect back. So what do you guys think?
Like he said, it's a waste of energy. He's completely right. Racism isn't going anywhere, at least not anytime
That's
soon.
Right.
You
right.
know what I mean? And so I'm 32 years old. If I live another 50 years, I don't think it's going to change in 50 years either. So why waste my breath? Why not just live my life, be a good person, and if it changes, it changes. If it don't, understand that, and don't get caught up in the system.
That's right. I don't, you know, I agree, and I don't think that, I don't know, it almost seems like it has regressed in the 30 years, because you look 30 years ago, and you had these shows like, you know, Sanford and Son and Archie Bunker, they would never play these shows now because it would be deemed politically, you know, not correct, which in itself is crazy, because I think we should have been past that point now. But the dialogue with, you got two black guys, and you know, you got a Mexican guy who, you know, for pretty much, I mean, we brothers just from different parts of the country. And
right.
I think people can learn a lot from that. And of course, your sister, you know, Tone, who's out there, you know, fighting for, you know, her cause.
Right.
And I think people like that are what's going to make a difference. So, like you said, Eric,
yeah.
you know, you just try to live your day one day at a time and treat people the right way. That's all you can do. I mean, you know, and then hopefully that rubs off on one person.
Well,
yeah.
you know, that's where it starts is, you know, if I have kids, I teach my kids, like my mom taught me how to live a respectable life. I teach my kids how to do it. That's where it starts. But like I said, that's going to take generations upon generations to change, you know, or to even put a dent in, you know, like you said, we're regressing. You know what I mean? There are no African American sitcoms on the air right now that I'm aware of.
Right.
You know, on
okay.
cable TV. You know, the only
right.
Hispanic TV show is George Lopez.
That's right.
You know what I mean? And that's just a comedy show. It does nothing as far as the values of Hispanics and what we mean to the community. It's just for pure comedic relief. And, you know,
right.
like I said, it's going to take you teaching your kids, me teaching my kids, them teaching their kids, you know, maybe in 100 years, everything Dr. King spoke about and marched about, you know, will be a reality.
That's right.
You know, he figured it'd be a reality by today. And, but you know, it starts with everyone. For instance, I have a friend, he's not even my friend. I just followed him on
mm-hmm.
Facebook because he was making some funny jokes one day. And
right.
he's African American, and he goes, "Why do Mexicans watch football? None of them make it to the league."
Oh, right.
You know what I mean?
Wow.
And I'm sitting there like, bro, we have a handful of people in the NFL. We have a Hall of Famer, and what does
right.
race have to do with it? You know what I mean?
Right.
And your Hall of Famer may be the best left tackle to ever play the game. I mean, in my opinion, if I think that's
exactly,
who you're talking
yes.
about.
Yeah, Anthony Munoz.
And that's right. That's right. Great. Anthony Munoz was out of USC. You ain't know I knew that shit, did you, Eric?
You know, but it's simple things like that. You know, people want to play racism, but in reality,
mm-hmm.
you with the African American community, you have Bloods and Crips. They can't even get along. In the Mexican Mexican American community, you got Sudanios and Norteños. They can't even get along.
Right.
So how the hell do
right.
you expect us to make progress in this world and rise above it when we can't even get along at the street level?
That's right. Oh, great point, man. Great point. And I don't know what show you can go to where you can go from boxing to racial issues. You can come here. We can drop the knowledge on y'all all night. But
that's
it's good
day,
to have
man.
Two brothers like y'all to, you know, diversify the subject and just let people know that this is just more than a boxing show and that, you know, we're well-rounded guys who are sensitive to a lot of the issues going on.
Yeah.
But, yeah, before you guys go, man, let me know. I mean, get a plug in or something, man.
Well, Eric Duran, 60MinutesBoxing.com. The latest and hardest hitting news in the boxing world. If you don't know about me, check it out. You're gonna become a fan.
Oh man.
For real.
That's
for
right.
Real.
Go ahead, Tone.
Hey man, you got me Tone, man, you know, saying all the AGFR, the Tyson Fury of radio. You know what I'm saying? I'm riding on right now, but you know what I'm saying, it's all good, man, but y'all can check me out. This is AGFR. Follow me on Twitter, Tone the Bishop, all together, Snapchat, everything.
And Snapchat.
all that, Instagram. Man, there's a lot going on. I hope to see you brothers at the next event. AGFR coming to the East Coast, you know what I'm saying? So getting my Tams
oh, yeah.
hey, and all that stuff.
Bring your Timberlands, man. I'm telling you, bring your Timberlands.
Can't wear no stars in the snow out there, man. You know what I'm saying? So,
I know, right?
Can't wear no stars out there, but you know what I'm saying? It's cool, though, man, you know what I'm saying, doing this and, you know what I'm saying, everybody getting their weight up in this thing, you know what I'm saying? And and it's going to be on the profit for us, man, you know what I'm saying? And who y'all got for Pacquiao Bradley, just to put it out there? What y'all got?
I told Eric I'm going with Pacquiao. Who you got, Ace?
I'm going with Pacquiao, too. I don't think he has the firepower he once had, but like I said, I didn't see anything from Bradley in the first two fights, and I think Brandon Rios was just, you know, he got old overnight. So I got Pacquiao with another easy decision.
I don't know. The second fight, Bradley came with it because he made Pacquiao fly up in the air, you know what I'm saying, on that wild little hooky throw. But, you know what I'm saying, I don't know, man. I hope it's going to be a fight, you know what I'm saying. All that skill stuff going to go out the window once somebody get hit in the mouth. But I'm really anticipating to see your boy Eric, see what he do.
Oh, we'll be there, mm-hmm. brother. We'll be there full force come April 9th, man.
All right, man.
Oh, man,
we're going to have
to get together, yeah. Hopefully everything will go well.
You know, what we should do is anytime there's a big fight, man, let's do a show and we can do a breakdown and a prediction, you know, just on the big fights. If you guys have the time, I'll make the time.
Oh, yeah,
we did that for the Rios and Bradley fight. We did that for that one, too. We did the breakdown for that. So let's do one. It's a couple fights coming up. Kovalov and Pascal, who y'all got?
I got Kovalov.
Go ahead, Rob.
I got Kovalov.
I got Kovalov, too. I think we've seen the best we could see out of Pascal in the first fight, and he went 8 rounds. I think he only lasts 6 rounds in the second fight.
I'm going to go with John just because.
I tell you what, if you bet that in Vegas and you win, that's a lot of money.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. So, you got Robert Garcia and Danny Garcia. I mean, Robert Guerrero and Danny Garcia, my bad. Who y'all got?
Yeah, I'm going with
Danny. Garcia.
Really?
I got Garcia wiping the ring with Guerrero.
Wow.
I think so, too.
And check out my, speaking of Garcia Guerrero, my Freestyle Friday evolves around Danny Garcia and his cherry picking. So,
oh man,
I got
you took it to the Instagram. Oh my goodness! See,
yeah,
this is what I tell you when y'all said Eric had no filter, y'all. So y'all just you read his article, you're gonna really enjoy it, man. It's some great reading and
Eric needs security, bro.
Hey, you're talking about regression. Man, Danny Garcia should be a pay-per-view fighter. He should be mentioning the name of Terrence Crawford, you know.
You know what,
Harris,
I agree.
But he's regressing.
But
his
he's not. I agree, man. I agree with that. I think at this point, Tone, Eric is right, man. I think Danny Garcia should have been on par as, you know, as a pay-per-view fighter. But, he's not that, man. He's a great young fighter, but he's, you know, a PBC Saturday night fighter, you know.
You know, and you look at after the Matisse fight, he fought Herrera, Selke, Peterson, and Malignaggi. Those aren't how,
yeah.
I mean, Malignaggi, people know him, but he's so far past his prime, you can't respect that win.
Yeah.
He had like 2-3 losses right now. He really had like a couple losses right now, man, for real.
Yeah, of course, you're right. The questionable wins against Herrera and Peterson. So
he definitely lost that fight.
Yeah. Hey, but fellas, we got to get out of here because we're running out of time. Appreciate you guys coming through once again, man. We're going to try to make this happen in the next couple weeks.
So,
y'all
man, let it know, man.
All right, brothers. Y'all take it easy, man.
Take care, fellas.
All right, bro. Peace, man. All right.
Yeah, and I appreciate everybody, you know, chilling with Cheese tonight on this cold night. And, of course, till next week, we're going to do it again. I'm chilling with Cheese, and we out.
It ain't for everybody. Welcome to Hollywood, baby.
Picture.
Coming with.
Let's not even talk about it.
Let's do it.
Let's go.
I
see your jealousy as you watch me.
I see you watch me, baby.
You watch me.
It's all good.
It's kind of sexy.
I love it. it.
How you watching? You watching.
Blinded by the fact that you need.